Welcome, everyone, to the fabulous 37th edition of the Metabilis 2 podcast. I am always Ben.
And I am always David.
And we're going to be trailing the new series, which starts next weekend. But before we do that, we have a couple of very, very important corrections to make.
Yes. I saw that, and you posted our Vorp Vorp 3 review on the Vorp Vorp Facebook page, and
exactly.
A couple Doctor Who luminaries fact-checked us.
Yeah, no, people no less than Richard Bignall and Paul Scoones,
yes.
have pulled us up on our facts. Very, very important facts they were, and I think we owe it to our fan to correct those facts. The first of which, of course, is the famous Dalek Death Ray lolly.
Yes.
Richard Bignall very correctly pointed out that it wasn't mint ice cream in bar form, dipped in chocolate, as I think I might have implied.
Yes.
It was actually an ice cream bar on a stick, half of which was mint, the lower half, but the upper half was chocolate.
I think you got that upside down. Looking at the picture, it looks like the upper half is mint
and
the lower
right.
half is chocolate.
Really? I could have
well,
sworn
you,
the bottom
you know,
half was mint.
The problem is they discontinued the Dalek Death Ray.
It's a bloody nice lolly, I have to say.
If they would have continued on with it, it'd be on, everyone would know. It wouldn't even be controversial.
It would literally, in every sense, be on everyone's lips because it was a damn fine lolly. So we are happy to correct that egregious error, but we stand by our point that Tat Wood had misidentified the green element of the Dalek Death Ray ice lolly, which is what Americans call a popsicle, as being apple flavor. And of course, as everyone knows, in Britain, apple flavor is not green. It's kind of a murky brown. Right, so, and on to our second and perhaps more important correction. We were pulled up by Paul Scoones, none less than Paul Scoones, on our pronunciation of Absalom, D-A-A-K. David, how would you pronounce the word D-A-A-K?
Well, I would pronounce it Dak, but Paul has corrected us. The pain from the comic strip is Dak, like Quark.
Yeah.
So I posted the corrections on Twitter.
Okay.
And then Paul Smith of Wonderful Books, he did like that Doctor Who DVD guide and a bunch of other things. So... Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I know.
So
yeah,
he says,
awesome.
So it's Absalom Dork, then?
Absalom. Paul's, those wonderful book guides are really amazing.
Oh, yeah.
Have you seen
those?
Yeah,
he's another very talented graphic designer, artist, author.
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah, exactly. Dork like Quark. So I think it's one of those things. It depends on which side of the Atlantic you come from. I'll have to say, I always avoided pronouncing Absalom Dark as Absalom Dak, because Absalom Dark makes it sound like he's from the Sisters of Mercy or something. It's like some kind of goth band from the 80s. Dak makes him sound like he's a hack chop slash, 2000 AD character. Anyway, however, mentally, I'll call him Dak still, because that's the way my mind works. But in public, if anyone asks me, he is Absalom Dark and forever will be.
So look for our Absalom Dark special, podcast special, sometime in the next few years.
Well, we will just say his name over and over and over again in the correct way.
Yes.
Just to make sure.
You know,
sure
it just
sticks.
Occurred to me, just to do a quick sidebar here. We weren't called to task with our pronunciation of Metabilis, and that just goes to show what old school fans were listening to us on the Vorp Vorp Facebook feed.
Exactly. That's actually a really good point. We're not really picking up enough
we're
new
not
school
getting...
fans who, of course, call it Metabilis 3 or 2. because they because they're foolish.
Maybe when we do a new Who a 21st century revival Who episode, we should introduce the podcast as Metabolist Two.
Honestly, why they didn't fix that in post, I have no idea. But there you go.
Well, I think it's because Stephen Moffat likes thumbing his nose at uptight fanboys.
yeah, Steve. Cheers. Yeah, which is part of the point of being a fan. For God's sake. It's like why we do it.
It gives us something. It gives us something to pedant.
Yeah, it's important to be a pedant. Accuracy is very important. And, you know, yes, the planets that orbit around the star Metabilis are also named Metabilis. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, probably 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. So I think tonight...
We had promised that we would pick up on our look at female companions, but the Doctor Who scheduling kind of crept up on us, and we're 1 week away.
Barreling down the pike.
1 week away from, Series 10, new Doctor Who. So we thought we would take a look at the 4 official trailers that have come out since December. We'll watch them. We'll listen to them. Via pod here, and then we'll just chat about them to reduce having any surprises from the series 10 being ruined.
Absolutely, and we're spoiler very very spoiler sensitive on the Metabilis 2 are naturally spoiler sensitive people. We won't be talking about anything other than what is on those trailers: the trailer from April, the trailer from March, the trailer from February, and then of course the first trailer in December last year. We are going to be restricting our comments solely to those trailers themselves.
So we should start probably with December, the one that was debuted around Christmas time.
Okay, well,
Christmas 2016.
All right, so I'm going to click and open it right now.
Yep, we're going to play it, and then you'll hear it. If you want to actually visit it, you can search for the December trailer in YouTube. But here we go.
Here we go. Okay.
From the BBC.
Okay, here he goes, and go.
I'm Bill. I serve chips. He's a professor. Or a lecturer. Or as I call him, Dr. What. And now we go everywhere.
It's like a...
spaceship.
Kitchen. Any space.
Where are we?
Which way is that?
What's the garlic?
Can I use the toilet? Any time.
Get in!
Book!
And now I see everything differently.
Exterminate!
Where are we?
Basically in the middle of a war.
And it's not as bad as it sounds.
I'm the doctor. I will save all your lives, and when I do, you will spend the rest of them wondering who I was.
Are you out of your mind?
Yes, completely, but that's not a recent thing.
Nice one. Like it a lot. I like that one a lot.
So, observations.
So, reactions. Observations. Well, as we started.
Well, we can start with Bill.
Bill
right?
Looks great. She's nice.
Yeah. She serves chips, calls him Dr. What?
Dr. What? And then calls him Professor, like, of course, Ace used to call him the McCoy Doctor.
It certainly wasn't announced in December, but just recently, the past few weeks, it was announced that she's going to be the first openly gay companion. So, that's kind of exciting, a new twist on a companion. Yep. So, that's something to look forward to.
Yeah, but of course, chips, of course, is a callback to Rose.
Yes, certainly.
And I think if we look at the titles of the new series, the first episode is called Pilot. I'm sure there's a double meaning there because Moffat likes his puns. I think much of the rhetoric around series 10 has been, you know, it's back to basics. It's John Major,
right?
So you know, this is Doctor Who from the from the beginning. Mm-hmm. And I think there's definitely a Rose callback there with the chips element.
Well, it's also a callback in a way to the Doctor being out of school. So we're looking at Unearthly Child with Ian and Barbara working at a school, with the Doctor being at a university, a lecturer, a professor.
Right.
Bill isn't very specific. So that's kind of interesting. I also like it's a new take that Stephen Moffat has Bill taking with calling the inside of the TARDIS like a kitchen rather than a spaceship.
Yeah. Why not? Why not call it a kitchen? It looks as much like a kitchen as it looks like a spaceship. So there we go.
And then, so we see some scenes of a university, which I'm guessing is somewhere in Wales, probably masquerading as somewhere in England.
Yeah, it probably is. It looks a bit red brick to me. Having attended university in Britain, it's definitely not one of the older ones. So probably the University of Leicester, something like that.
So you'd have to explain what a Red Brick University is to our listener, if he or she is an American.
So Red Brick University, well, I guess it's a new university. So it's built of bricks rather than of stones. Yeah. So
it's not one of the private institutions per se. It's more like a public.
No, we don't really have private and public colleges the same way you have in the United States. But we do have old ones and new ones. One will often make fun of Roman Catholics by saying that their churches are made of bricks and proper English churches, Church of England churches, are made of stones. So there's a similar difference there. Of course, the irony, if you go to Oxford University, which is quite possibly the university that I attended, one of the most famous colleges at Oxford, Keble College, is made of bricks. So there you go. Very, very beautiful Victorian bricks, but bricks nonetheless. Anyway, so it's a Red Brick University, probably University of Leicester, I think. That's my guess.
Yep, okay. And then we saw a scene with a grain field with some kind of futuristic CGI. Well, I'm assuming CGI.
Space grain.
Yeah. So it looks like it's in some kind of grain, wheat world. Yep. And then there's a city.
Yep.
Then any thought? Any thoughts on that?
The city? No, it looks like a generic. I mean, it was reminding me a little bit of New York, but it probably isn't. I'm hoping it is Wheat World, the world where everything is made of wheat, a bit like Kevin Costner's.
So you got big harvesters,
Kevin Costner's Water World, only with more food.
A lot of grain.
High grain.
A lot of corn, a lot of grain, yeah.
And then I think we switch quite quickly to
Regency London.
To Regency London with the Frost Fairs. And of course, any of you who grew up watching Blue Peter in Britain, as of course I did, will remember Frost Fairs, because it's one of those episodes of Blue Peter, and Blue Peter was on like twice a week for like 50 years, but I remember the Frost Fair episode very, very clearly, where they were talking about how in the 17th century, because we were in a mini ice age at that point, the Thames used to freeze solid in London, which seems remarkable now, but of course in those days the Thames was a lot wider in London. There was only one bridge. It moved a lot more slowly, and it would freeze and freeze to such an extent that people would have fairs, carnival style activities, markets, etc., on the frozen river. And I think this is what we're returning to here. There's probably a monster of some kind.
That would be my guess.
Lurking under the something... ice. Maybe it's the Ice Warriors.
Probably not. But the Ice Warriors do return.
They do return, but I think it must be the episode entitled Mars. So then we move on. What happens after that?
Well, speaking of Blue Peter, we have a blue man. We have Peter Caulfield as a character, all blue.
Is he related to what's his face, the other blue man on Doctor Who? Moram.
No, that wasn't him. Simon Fisher Becker, Dorian Malduvar.
Dorian Malduvar. I think they're from the same race of people. That's my guess.
That could be.
My guess, yeah.
And we see the next scene. We see kind of a warehouse or some kind of storage vault with these round portals.
Yep.
That's kind of interesting. My guess, if I had to guess, is that's inside that futuristic city. Maybe that's where they keep. Maybe it's a big seed bank.
Could be. It's where they keep all the seed for wheat world. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. The world of wheat. And then next.
Is that wooden human?
Yeah. There's a wooden human.
Wooden humanoid.
I'm very much hoping it's the original tree people. From the end of the world, which also have blue people in it as well.
Oh, you don't think they're related to the tree people?
No, because I didn't like those people in the thing, the witch and the wardrobe, at all. So yep. I'm hoping it's related to the original tree people from the second episode of New Who. That's what I think.
Okay. See, I think they're from the episode Knock Knock that has David Suchet in it.
Oh, really?
So who knows?
Probably not the people from the end of the world. Right. Then. Oh, well.
But that's just my guess.
Is that your guess?
But it could be.
Yeah. And then we have a water lady of some kind who's all upset about...
Yeah. Well, the actress is Stephanie Hyam. Okay. And in the news, I believe that is Bill's girlfriend or partner.
Really?
Love interest, yes. Oh. And she's that shrieky, watery girl, I think, is name is Heather.
Heather.
And I think that's Bill's girlfriend.
Oh, cool. Okay. Well, that's good to know.
And then we get the emoji robots.
Emoji robots. I have to say, I don't like those already.
Okay.
But I mean,
they don't remind you of the hand bots from the.
They're a bit too much like the hand bots from the one with the hand bots in it. They're going to turn evil.
Yep. Well, we see that.
So, you know, because I guess most robots do. I'm not liking them.
Okay. You got picking up a bad vibe from that. See,
have you got any guesses from which episode they're from?
My guess is they're part of that futuristic city.
Smile.
Somehow.
The next.
Yeah.
Which is by Frank Cottrell Boyce, who wrote that one about the.
In the Forest of the
Night.
Which
was awful. So this is why I'm not liking those. I'm not liking those bots right now. Anyway, but let's not judge the bots before we see them in action.
And then we have this very gorgeous scene of, like, it's on an open plain of tundra with the TARDIS and the Doctor and Nardole going off in one way and Bill going off in the other. And I have no idea what that's that one's from.
What's going on there?
I'm wondering if that is from Rona Munro's story, I think Eaters of the Light, but I have nothing to base that
on. Right.
But then, yes.
David Suchet.
The landlord.
It's Poirot out of Poirot. Yes.
Now, do you think he could be a Time Lord?
He has a very strong, whoever that played that Time Lord in Shudder. He's giving off a whoever, Professor Chronotis. He's giving a Professor Chronotis vibe off to me.
And then with just the title, the character's name is the Landlord, which is very Time Lord-esque.
Yes, because we already know there's like the Buccaneer and the blah, blah, blah. There's
the Corsair, the Master.
The Curator.
There's probably is the Buccaneer.
Yeah, so there's probably is the Landlord, the least interesting of all the Time Lords. I would say.
You don't think the middle manager was more?
That's true. Though, of course, I mean, he could be like a. It doesn't have to be a landlord in terms of I own your house. He could be a landlord in terms of I run the pub that you like to drink in.
Oh, well, that could be interesting.
Yeah, he could be like a booze landlord.
Well, that, you know, so they have a precedence of a TARDIS being a 1950s diner. So maybe the landlord's TARDIS is a pub. Wouldn't that be
flying
awesome?
Space pub. Yes. Okay.
So
good.
Yes, if I get a TARDIS, that is what I want. I want it to be in pub decor, and the controls would all be pub taps.
Yeah. I really hope that Stephen Moffat is listening to this podcast, because you've given him two really good ideas. One, like someone whose TARDIS is a pub, and the other, a planet that's only made of wheat. Those are two excellent ideas.
It's probably too late for Moffat, but I hope Chibnall is taking notes.
Yep. Take notes. All right. Okay, what's next?
Daleks.
The Daleks, and I think probably we think there are some...
Well, I'm pretty sure those were Mavellans.
Those are Mavellans. Return of the 1979 disco robots.
They're in the middle of the war, and Nardole kind of freaking out.
Now, I mean, let's talk about this seriously for a second. Do we really think that the Mavellans are going to come back as, like, major characters?
No.
I suspect that this is a throwaway line, very much like the Cybermen were in that one where Rory and Amy discover that they're the parents of River Song. I can't remember what it's called now.
Right.
But, you know.
Good Man Goes to War. My guess is this is probably at most 2 minutes of screen time where we see Daleks battling Movellans.
Because why not? I mean, they've got to battle someone.
Right.
And to keep fans happy, let's have them battle a crap old monster.
Right. And it's probably from the pilot.
Yeah. 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 No, I think so. Yeah.
Get the Daleks in on that first episode. Yeah. Try to build up some buzz and get them out of the way, because Daleks are hard to write well for.
They are, but they are brilliant. So let's hope that they come back more than just once.
And then after we see the Mavellan kind of getting slammed up against the wall from, I guess, my guess would be a blast from a Dalek.
Dalek death ray, lolly.
Dalek death ray. We see the cast, our time team in spacesuits on Mars, I'm guessing.
Yeah.
Just because we have a Martian story with Mark Gatiss's Ice Warrior story.
Yeah, and we'll come to this in one of the next trailers, but there is a pyramid. Mm-hmm. I'm vaguely hoping there's going to be pyramids on Mars, but I don't think so.
You think
knowing Gatiss's knowledge and passion for classic sci-fi, the archaeological excavation on Mars that turns up something evil is like standard, you know, all the way from Clark Ashton Smith, all the way up to, you know, like, what's his face, the one who does all that terraforming stuff. So, I mean, that will be the plot.
It'll be Sutek.
Yeah, I mean, whether they're going to dig up Sutek or not, probably not. But it looks like they probably might dig up an Ice Lord, but we'll have to see.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, so then we have the frozen Thames again, I'm guessing, yep. since it's looking back, we're in Regency.
Yep.
And we're inside the TARDIS, and it looks like the Doctor's next to some kind of priest or a monk or something like that, but there's lots of people inside the TARDIS. Did you? And Doctor's wearing sunglasses, and I'm wondering, has he been blinded, or is he just trying to
I'm not sure what that is.
Are those the sonic sunglasses?
I don't know. Are they monks, or are they cardinals of some kind?
Or, okay, maybe it's a Monty Python sketch. Maybe they're expecting the Spanish Inquisition.
He's not expecting the Spanish Inquisition, and suddenly they turn up. Or maybe it's yes. Return of the Papal Mainframe, and they're merry.
Oh, that would be interesting.
They're merry pals. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, they had a Dalek connection, so because the Papal Mainframe, weren't they invaded by
Daleks? I think they were. I think you're more an expert on the Papal Mainframe than I am.
yeah, that's my specialist subject. Papal Mainframes.
Papal Mainframes. and then he punches someone. No, does he? No, hang on.
No, right before that, we have a diving suit.
We do.
Plunging through the ice into an old diving suit. So my guess is it's from the Regency
it's a Regency diving suit.
I think that's the Sarah Dollard one. And didn't she do... She wrote Face the Raven, right?
Yeah.
So I think that's her... She likes that kind of time.
Always thought that the Frost Fairs, when the Thames froze, was more of a kind of Commonwealth thing, so like about 100 years before the Regency. So I'm interested to see. You're right, the costumes are definitely 18th century, not 17th century,
right.
Interesting, maybe it's a, I don't know, we'll have to see what the episode brings.
Yep.
Okay.
And then yes, he punches someone, and again, Regency costume fellow.
Yeah, though I'm not sure.
What do you make of that?
Well, I don't think a top hat like that is the Regency, actually. I think that's more Victorian. Either they're really mixing it up in terms of costumes, which is very unlike the BBC, or we are looking at more than one historic episode. Or at least we have one episode that is very solidly based in a particular historic era, and then we're going to have some cutaways or, you know, like extra bits of business based in other eras. I think that's what's going on there.
What are the dates of Victoria's reign?
Victoria is basically the 1800s, so the 19th century.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
She comes to the throne. I'm going to mess it up. Something like 1830, and then she dies something like 1902. So.
Okay. So yeah, I'm guessing it's probably pre-Victorian, but post-Regency then.
Yeah. So like William the Fourth or something like that.
Right. I'm guessing like 1810, probably 1817, so 200 years ago.
Yeah, well, we'll see. We will absolutely see.
Okay. And then we close. It looks like they're on an alien world with this strange geyser, which I'm guessing is some kind of baddie or monster.
Yeah,
or
and they're
like
wearing
that.
Spacesuits. Mm-hmm. Standard. I mean, we know what the Who spacesuit looks like now. They all pretty much look the same. Our first trailer. Very good.
Looks good so far. So we'll just jump right into the February trailer here.
We'll just click on that, and Bob's your uncle.
And it's titled Time for Heroes. All right.
Pure drama. No,
more pure drama, yes. All right, let's go.
The first time you meet him, he's funny. The second time, he's amazing. The third time, you realize he's the most dangerous man in the universe. He says he's a man of peace, but he walks in war. I'm having the time of my life, and I wouldn't miss it for the world, even if it kills me.
That's a very short little trailer. Guess that...
It's kind of ominous there, specially filmed.
Filmed, that's not from any episode, apart from that looming what looks like an Ice Warrior face that kind of looms out of the library at the end.
Yeah. It's kind of ominous that Bill says there, that she says, I'm having the time of my life, and I wouldn't miss it for the world, even if it kills me. So
foreshadowing.
I don't know if it's foreshadowing or trying to build a little buzz, but you know, I think Moffat has had a knock that he doesn't kill off characters, and like Clara, for example, he tries to get out of that, and it would be very unfortunate, I think, if he decides to have Bill be the one that he has die, because... It's kind of a cliched trope that the gay character or the lesbian character is the one that dies.
Yeah.
So I'm really hoping he doesn't go that direction.
Well, he's ballsed up basically all the kind of companion-style deaths that he's done, including, you know, what's-his-face, Clara's boyfriend, who, you know, obviously...
Oh, Danny Pink, yeah.
Obviously wasn't intended to die when he was doing them in the first draft, but then actually then ended up dying anyway.
Right.
So, I don't know. I think it's a cheap shot. It's a cheap shot, killing companions. And I don't like to be made to like someone and then have that someone die to then artificially make me feel sad. I think that's manipulative and lazy drama. So that's my opinion.
And I guess we have the first five titles that were on the books that got shot up with bullets or whatever. So The Pilot, Smile,
Do we?
Thin Ice,
God, you got
Knock
eyes.
Knock, and Oxygen.
You,
well, I've watched this trailer more than once.
You read that on the internet. You didn't actually see that.
I watched the trailer more than once.
Well, I watched it more than once, but I wasn't looking for the titles on the books. That's amazing.
Oh, yeah. Wow. So that's there. And I'm sure it's on the internet somewhere, but I've been really trying to avoid any kind of spoilers because like our listener, I do not like spoilers.
No, I can't stand spoilers. I think, what's the point? I mean, you know, there weren't spoilers in the old days. Why should there be spoilers now? So that's nice. I mean, it's a pretty standard... I mean, I like, you know, Nardle's got his duffel coat on, which we like. Bill is definitely, you know, a very... she's a nicely written character so far. She's got, you know, she's got some kind of vim and vigor to her. The doctor is all like, rrr. So yeah, good stuff. Like it.
Yep. Yeah. Not much else in that. I couldn't really make out the faces in the swirly scenes, but I'm assuming those are foes that he's going to be facing this series.
It very much looked like those. You've watched it more than I have, so I don't know. It very much looked like to me that it was some kind of ice warrior, like an ice lord.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Shall we move on to March?
Okay.
Yes.
Click.
All right.
Click and watch.
This is the gateway to everything that ever was. Whatever can be.
It's like a
spaceship.
Kitchen.
What?
That is a robot. It speaks emoji.
Mars.
1814.
Get it!
Nice here, isn't it?
So how do we stay out of trouble?
This is naughty.
Exterminate.
Something's coming, Bill. And I have the feeling that we're going to be fairly busy.
It's time.
Doctor.
Bring it.
You're about to be exposed to the vacuum of space. This is the moment you've been waiting for since the day you were born.
Now, Dole, Bill, with me to the TARDIS.
Well, that's very action-packed.
So we get the pyramid and the open plane. That was new.
Yep.
And so we're back in Wheat World, and there looks like there's a flying, flocking black swarm of something over the wheat field.
Yeah, maybe Van Gogh-style crows.
Maybe.
Maybe it's a call back to the Van Gogh episode. Yeah. Probably not.
Maybe. Could be. Kind of a cool-looking space station, a wheel in space.
If you will, yes.
Cyberman episode?
Cyberman episode.
We have,
could be.
Well, we
could
do. Be. Well, possibly. Yeah. Okay, we got that future city again.
Yep. Which I think is I think that's the same future city that's in Wheat World. I think that's the same.
Yeah,
city.
I think so. Yeah. I think that's where the emoji
similar.
Robots.
Yeah.
Yep. And then we get Mars.
Yep. And which is obviously some kind of archaeological expedition underneath the surface of Mars.
Okay.
Where I think we're obviously going to dig up some ice warriors, obviously.
Okay.
Tomb of the ice
that
warriors.
Would make sense.
Yep.
And then 1814.
It's stated, Regency. Those are the costumes. We'll just have to see how well they do.
And then we see, it looks medieval, or pre-medieval, with the time team being surrounded by knives and spear-wielding people with kind of swirly Celtic lines on their face.
Could be, don't know, not sure. They could be aliens, they could be people from, you know, weird Doctor Who-style Viking times, who knows? Who knows?
It doesn't seem to fit with any of the stories that we've seen previously.
Yeah, I mean, again, a lot of
or...
these could be, you know, just brief kind of, you know, 2 minute, 3 minute plot filler things where, like, ooh, they're having a fabulous time in space. So, you know.
Yeah, it looks good on a trailer.
Yeah, it's good on a trailer.
Well, the next scene seemed very interesting. They're under two people are underwater in diving suits, and I'm guessing that's going to be Bill and the Doctor.
And there's a big eye.
Yeah.
Do we think that maybe the monster that's under the surface of the Thames? It looks like Krall to me. You never know.
I don't know. It had a. I think the next scene it's a big gaping mouth. So
it's
I'm
Krall.
Not.
It's the return of Krall. It's got to be the return of Krall.
Under the Thames, you heard it here
yeah,
first.
Exactly. all right, okay. And then they're back in some kind of medieval lodge or something for a while.
Right, and Nardole saying, this is naughty.
Naughty.
Okay.
And I'll have to say, one of the things that really struck me in this story is actually Peter Capaldi's pronunciation of Nardole.
Yes.
It's a lot more like Nardole that he says. He's like, Nardole.
Well, it's Nardole, you know.
He's really doing the Scott yeah. thing with it, which is nice.
Yeah,
so,
okay.
Good on you.
Interesting.
Good on you.
And then we get get our watery girl again saying exterminate. So
something
I think
to do with
that
the Daleks.
Links with the Daleks, and I think that again that's Heather. So I think that is probably Bill's girlfriend.
And I think your hunch this is the pilot episode is a good one. Get the Daleks out of the way. Get Bill's motivations out of the way. Establish her as having a girlfriend, being a lesbian. Have that girlfriend turn into a Dalek.
Get her out of the way.
Get her out of the way quickly. I think that all kind of fits for me quite nicely. Mm-hmm.
And then so we have people with guns shielding their eyes from the bright light. And I'm guessing since that city was so brightly lit, that future city,
yeah,
maybe it's something from that.
Yeah, there's a big door, isn't there, as well? It's like there's somebody trying to get through a big door.
I wonder if that big door is to that vault with all for the seed bank.
Could be. It looks like an older door, though. Anyway, yeah, maybe it's a big door. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And there's then we're in a library with the corpse monks.
Corpse monks hanging about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. And then we see David Suchet with a tuning fork.
And he's talking about
saying,
time.
It's.
Mm-hmm. It's time.
Well, which lends
credence
possibility yep. to a time lord
to some kind maybe? Of time some kind of time lord yep
and then as you predicted or knew that the emojis are killer emoji robots. We see a skull faces on their
yep.
screens.
Everyone's least favorite emoji, the skull face. Yep.
And then Missy,
Missy's back.
But she doesn't seem to be quite as Mary Poppin'd up.
No, she's maybe relaxed her kind of Mary Poppin look a little bit, which
yeah,
is a plus.
Her hair,
definitely a plus
hair's
for me.
Let down a little bit.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah.
And then we see a wooden lady humanoid smiling from...
Same, pretty much the same shot from the first trailer, as far as I can tell.
Just a little extended, yeah. and then what did you think the UN blue helmets in kind of a Middle Eastern setting?
Yeah, I know. That's
that's
Doctor Who goes to Syria and solves that problem.
Kind of
I don't know.
Good luck
who
with
knows?
That one.
We know, of course, the Doctor has a very close relationship with the United Nations, so... Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's a UNIT story.
Could be a UNIT story. I'm not sure... Where's my list of episodes? There's nothing that says UNIT story, but you never know. You never know.
Lie of the land,
or maybe maybe our series climax. If Missy's coming back, Missy has a beef with UNIT, or likes to irritate UNIT as much as possible. So could be.
And we see the corpse monks have very long fingers in the next shot.
Yeah, very nice.
And then. What's with the Doctor flying backwards? He's on kind of a dais, and then there's this dark figure with a black robe sitting on what looked like a golden box, and all of a sudden, like, the Doctor's, like,
flying
Yoda-style flung across the room.
Who knows? Who knows what's going on
okay.
there? I haven't got a monkeys.
Okay. in a kind of an amped up Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy vibe, with the Doctor saying to Bill that you're about to be exposed to the
vacuum of space, which is always a terrible thing to say to anybody, but
especially your companion.
Exactly.
on her first outing.
On her first outing, you're about to vacuum of space, never good. Yeah, I'm sure she survived. Or maybe she doesn't survive. Maybe that's her death episode. Mm-hmm. Who knows?
Well, maybe. Well, it was foreshadowed in that previous trailer. And then we see her crying.
Oh, maybe she's sad because her girlfriend's been turned into a Dalek.
Yeah, that would be my guess. That's what
it would make
from.
Me sad. If my wife got turned into a Dalek, I'd be very upset.
Yeah, that would be a bummer.
It would be a bummer, yeah.
And
Mondesian Cyberman.
Yes.
So I hope this is. I hope they're going to be good. I was remarking to a friend of mine just on messaging the other night. You know, a lot of the success of those Mondasian Cybermen was the fact that they were on a murky 1966 style television set in black and white. Mm-hmm. You got to shoot them right to make them look good. Otherwise, they do look like men with stockings over their faces wearing metal skull caps. Well, so we'll have to see.
The director is Rachel Talalay on those episodes, and she is a very
good
fine
director. She directed movies. Mm-hmm. We place our trust in her.
Yep. She did a nice job with Heaven Sent. So I think it's if it's of our directors this year, it's in the best hands possible.
Okay.
So.
Well, we'll just have to see. We will just have to see.
And then we see the new Ice Warrior, Open Helmet.
Yeah, well, it's got to be an Ice Lord, right? I mean, this is just a regular...
Or an Ice Lady. I'm guessing it's the female of the species.
Deadlier than the male, of what I've heard. So,
yes.
So yes. Again, we move... It's Doctor Who likes to sex up the reptiles. which is, you know... Does she have the distinctive lady bumps of a... Of a female reptile,
the etheric beam locators.
Exactly, it's hard to tell.
I can't tell with the Ice Warrior armor, but perhaps.
Okay, you already know my opinions on reptiles having mammalian features.
Yes, we'll punt on that.
Yeah,
this round.
Strangely designed upper thoraxes that they have. Okay, yeah, and hang on, we got the TARDIS is flinging. Oh, there's some ice.
Well, we see
the Fountain Woman.
We see the Fourth Doctor's sonic screwdriver flying through the air with Nardole catching it.
Don't do we? Bloody hell, you've watched these a lot better than I have. Really?
Well, we see Nardole holding Tom Baker's
sonic
screwdriver.
Oh, so we do. Yes, sorry, I'm moving through on the YouTube just looking at the smaller images.
Right,
yeah.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Okay, interesting.
And then, which I guess Nardole rates a classic sonic, I don't know.
Yeah, he's got a classic sonic.
What do you make of that scene with the Doctor standing in front of portholes? Is he on some kind of steamship?
Well, I don't know. I mean, again, if we're in Regency time, you see, it's difficult to... I don't know.
Well, is it a Regency time, or is it from a different episode?
I think it's from a different episode. Maybe he's back on the old SS Bernice. Maybe,
Carnival of Monsters.
Yeah, maybe it's the return of the miniscope.
The whole series is actually trying to escape
a
miniscope.
Yeah, I mean, that would explain the Mondasian Cybermen and also Ice Warriors in some ways.
And he did name check it in the Gaddis episode Robots of Sherwood. He thought he was in miniscope then, so
Could be. SS Bernice back again.
And the final scene is Bill running across the cracking Thames, which I'm assuming is... from the Frostfair story, the Sarah Dollard story, thin ice.
Trying to break through. Yep.
And then that trailer ends with the Doctor running away from the monks holding a laptop.
Yeah. Extraordinary. Yes, who knows what the hell is going on?
Yeah. The monks are new.
The monks are new. What could these monks be? We'll know in the next 12 weeks.
Interesting. Yeah, I have no idea how they're going to fit. They seem to be appearing with more frequency in the trailer, and I'm wondering if they're the series baddie, sort of like the Silence.
Yeah, and again, as we know, Moffat's got form with religious, the whole religious theme of, religions like, the Silence are a religion, Papal Mainframe's a religion, what's his name out, Game of Thrones was a religion. They're kind of a shorthand in terms of Moffat for like something that's mysterious and evil. So it's entirely possible. Entirely possible.
Shall we move on to April?
Let's do April. It's our last trailer. It's April.
All right.
And here we go.
This is the gateway to everything that ever was or ever can be.
That is a robot. It speaks emoji.
Mars.
1814.
So how do we stay out of trouble?
This is naughty.
Get ready. This is the moment you've been waiting for since the day you were born.
Nardole, Bill, with me to the TARDIS.
Well.
Okay.
Okay. Wow. What is going on there, eh?
So we begin with the Doctor and Bill in some kind of armor, and there's red helmeted guards in the background. They don't look like Gallifreyan guards.
They've got red jackets and white hats.
Right. They look more... And then, like, the next scene is there. I'm assuming it's a time team on a boat, kind of Lord of the Rings style, heading to a castle.
Yeah, well, we got the pyramid, and then we have the space station again, and then they're on.
Oh, right, yeah, yeah.
And then they're on some kind of, again, kind of Game of Thrones style boat. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Who knows what's going on? Interesting.
And then we have a door opening, and we get some elaborate steampunk-esque space suit.
Yeah, what is that? That is definitely...
Is that a diving suit, or is that a space suit?
I think
it's
a space suit of some kind.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Do you think that's on Mars, maybe?
Don't know. I mean, I'm wondering whether we'll have a mashup here, because we've got the water people, whether we'll have a Waters on Mars Ice Warriors mashup.
Because
I'd love to see the return of the water zombies.
Mm-hmm. But none of the authors, RTD and Phil Ford,
they are not present
doing
any
writing.
Exactly.
So I would expect
you're
going
to have to check the water zombies somehow if you're on Mars. I mean Mars is a difficult planet for Doctor, because you've got the Ice Warriors, you've got the pyramids of Mars. Well, you've got Sutex prison. Mm-hmm. And now you have this kind of evil water that lives on Mars as well.
Right.
Those are three very, very strong pieces of monster plot that you can't really ignore, in my opinion.
Well, but with the Doctor Who multiverse, they don't all have to be concurrently being on Mars that we know. You know, for all we could have parallel Mars or parallel time streams.
That's true. Well, I'm sure we'll find out.
But if Mark Gatiss is doing a Mars episode, I'm sure he'll try to do as many classic callbacks,
like little
as possible.
Kisses to the past, exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. So what do we have next?
Is that the monk hand coming through the wall?
Yeah. There's a no. It's not. I thought it was an insect of some kind.
Oh, that woodlouse.
It's a woodlouse. It's a woodlouse, yeah.
Oh, no, that's a little bit later.
Is it? Oh, okay.
Yeah. Because then we have that monk hand, like, just kind of shoving his hand through the wall.
Right.
Well, and it looked like it was that priest or that cardinal guy that was in the TARDIS in the first trailer.
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah, we're right there. Yeah, no, it's a ghostly hand of some kind. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, the hand looks like it's the hand of those monks with those really long fingers and kind of a corpse-like hand. So I'm guessing my assumption is the monks are the baddies, and this cardinal, this guy in red, this priest-like guy is probably on the doctor's side. But
yeah, and he very much does look like one of the Spanish Inquisition. Mm-hmm. But who knows? And then we have the doctor flying backwards on the kind of. I think I'm looking at this again. I'm wondering. This is inside that pyramid, because there's a,
you think it, that's where it is?
I think it is, because we've got a lot of triangles.
Oh, yeah. Maybe it is.
I think it's inside the pyramid. Right. There's some kind of idol or something there that is, you know, throwing the doctor backwards for reasons. Yeah.
You think it's an idol or, I don't know, something
some kind
weird.
Of powerful force of some kind.
And then there's a Roman centurion with a torch.
Yeah, that's mysterious. I mean, I thought we'd...
Rory?
I thought we'd given up on centurions, but they're back again, centurions.
Right.
Okay, yep.
Interesting.
Yep, who knows what's going on there. And then we have Missy Dabbing.
Missy Dabbing, which is...
Which I've only just learned about Dabbing, so it's exciting to see it on Doctor Who.
Well, like you said... Doctor Who follows popular culture about 18 months behind, and that's about perfect for dabbing.
Yep, and she's got some screens behind her. She's obviously
and she has something weird in her ear. It looks like a marshmallow in her ear.
She's dabbing. Is that the other thing they do now, the kids? They dab and they put marshmallows in their ears?
I believe so.
I think it is.
I would have to ask my teens if they do.
I've got a house full of teens this evening, so maybe I'll ask them whether dabbing includes sticky marshmallows in their ears. Okay.
And then we get the watery girl rising up from the floor. So I'm guessing that's Heather again from the pilot.
Yeah. But
so there must be something with
puddles
or water.
But
or
then,
something.
You know, I'm thinking Waters of Mars here, but of course it can't be because we've already seen her say exterminate. So it must be a Dalek thing.
Yeah, it's not a Martian
setting
either.
No, this is some kind of Victorian front room or, you know, early Victorian.
Well, or a college.
Yeah, or it could be in the college, exactly.
In the university, that's my guess.
Yeah.
And then we get
then
that.
Then we have the insect sticking its head through the wall.
And its antennae are glowing at the end.
Oh,
so,
really? Okay.
Yeah, must be alien or magical or something like
either
that.
Either alien or magical, exactly. And then with the return of the centurion, or not necessarily a centurion. It's a Roman soldier of some kind. I'm not sure it's wearing the helmet of a centurion.
And it moves all of a sudden very quickly.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is weird.
Yeah. And then we have our Cybermen who then look up as if something has attracted their attention that's higher than them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then we get this strange animal of kind of glowing blue tendrils coming out of its face or mouth.
Yeah. Before that, we have the ice warrior.
I think they've announced Mark Gatiss's episode is called The Empress of Mars. So,
well, that'll be her then.
Perhaps that's her. And that seems to be a play on like John Carter and the Princess of Mars.
Yeah. It's Deja Thoris, whatever she's called, only not as sexy. Yeah, or definitely. Depending, maybe more sexy, depending if you like lizards or not. Yeah.
Yep.
Okay.
Whatever floats your boat.
Whatever floats exactly your boat. And then we have the Shriven's Ale.
I was thinking from it kind of reminded me of a displacer beast from Dungeons and Dragons, but probably not.
Well, it was the two things he was reminding me one was a Shriven's Ale, but then also reminded me of Sandy the Sand Beast, which of course it can't be because that was literally a man in a suit. So Coquillon is a man in a suit. So I don't know. But the monks are shining beams at it.
It has me intrigued, but I do not know where to put this. It's a new look for Doctor Who.
Yeah.
With this kind of beast like that, and it's a CGI, I'm guessing, beast. It's not a man in a rubber suit.
I don't know. I don't know. We'll have to see.
You think it's a practical effect?
I don't know. They're so clever nowadays. Who knows? Yeah. Who knows what they're doing? Missy looking cross.
Yep. Well, that's her look.
The Doctor's back on a boat again. He's looking happy about it. Some Daleks swoop towards the camera.
And then he says, "Nardole, Bill, with me to the TARDIS." And that kind of made me laugh. And I just kind of thought of, to the Batmobile.
Yeah, exactly. And again, we have Nardole and the sonic screwdriver. I think that's a spare sonic screwdriver that the Doctor's got that he's kept. Mm-hmm. And for some reason, Nardole needs a sonic screwdriver to do something. Maybe he needs to assemble a piece of flat pack furniture or something like that.
It's the IKEA episode.
Exactly.
Where
they go to space IKEA, yes.
Yeah, thanks to the conservatives and the cutbacks of BBC, we've had to do direct product placement now within the Doctor Who narrative, and IKEA stepped up to the plate to underwrite Series 10.
Yeah.
And the cliffhanger between episode 11 and 12 will be, will Nardole be able to assemble a bunch of IKEA flat packs in time for episode 12?
I'll have to say Nardole actually sounds like the name of an IKEA piece of furniture.
It probably is. It's probably going to debut sometime in July as soon as episode 12 airs.
Yeah, maybe he's trying to assemble his brother. The Doctor is definitely wearing that diving suit that we saw earlier on. So he is. He's going diving beneath the Thames, and there's some kind of giant octopus down there.
You think octopus, not Kroll?
It's not going to be Kroll, is it? To be honest.
Okay.
It's either an octopus or a squid. It's definitely a tentacled invertebrate of some kind.
I thought it looked snake like to me. Maybe a sea serpent or a snake or something like that.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll see. And then we're back with those monks.
Mm-hmm. More of those monks. So I think they're the Series 10 silence.
You know who I think these monks are?
Okay.
I think they are the same kind of monks who were in the fires of Pompeii. I think this is the return of whatever those monsters were called.
Okay.
What were they called? They had names.
Pyrovales.
I think this is a Pyrovale cult, and I think that connects us back to the Roman centurions or the Roman soldiers that we saw. And I think the Doctor is doing something, and I think we're finding out exactly why the hero of the fires of Pompeii, Caecilius, has the same features as this particular incarnation of the Doctor.
Oh, that would be interesting. That could well be. I think that'd certainly be the timey-wimey Stephen Moffat way.
Yeah, and I think this is a Pyrovale cult that is more in the kind of, you know, in a past in there. It's like a papal times rather than Roman times. That's my theory.
Maybe they've spread across the universe, too. Maybe we're seeing these on alien worlds as well. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. And then, wow, here's the clincher at the end. We see a little flicker of everyone's least favorite energy.
Yep, regeneration energy coming from
the doctor's
Capaldi doctor's hand. Yeah.
Well, we know Capaldi's leaving the show. We know he must be regenerating. But we had been told he would be regenerating over Christmas, but maybe not.
Well, first rule of Stephen Moffat era is the showrunner lies.
The showrunner always doesn't tell the truth. Exactly.
Perhaps.
Perhaps
we will see
the new
Capaldi
doctor
leave
earlier than we were expecting.
Or maybe we're going to get that Paul McGann Christmas special that I've been waiting for.
The Paul McGann Christmas special. Exactly. We need to have that.
With singing Muppets.
Well, this is all good. This is all good.
Yeah. It looks like a very promising series. We don't have any instant red flags like Spitfires in Space or Mammalian Sailor.
Mammalian Sailor. No, none of those red flags have been flagged up for us. I'm looking forward to watching Pilot.
Yeah.
Pretty much this time next week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep,
I'm
yep.
hoping I'll get my Doctor Who magazine before then. I'm ordering it when it goes up on Who North America.
All right.
Quick plug there for Who North America, which is where I get my Doctor Who magazine from. They're very good. They always get the current issue. You don't have to go to Barnes and Noble for the issue that's before. So if you want to keep up on your DWMs, that's where you need to order them from. I've never had a bad transaction with them.
Surprised you haven't gone for a digital subscription. Get it instant.
I'm old school. I'm an historian. It's all about the object. All about the object.
You want to hang on to that print media.
Print media. Well, we just did a whole episode on Vorp.
How true.
Would that have been on digital? It wouldn't be good at all.
Well, that's interesting. Well, because they, I believe they're going to have Volume 1 and Volume 2 as a digital.
Oh, they were going to do digital copy, download, weren't they? Yeah.
So it'll be interesting. So I plan on picking that up and taking a look.
But of course, if you bought them earlier on, you already had physical copies of Volume 1 and Volume 2, as do I. But anyway.
Yep.
So cool stuff. So I think next week, when you listen to us, we'll be able to tell you, because you won't have watched it. Of course, you will have watched it, because you're a fan.
Don't listen next week until you've watched
the pilot,
because that's what we'll be talking about.
When I talk about spoilers, and we will be spoiling the episode when we talk about it. So if you don't...
We're going to take it apart. We are going to look at that episode.
What do we think is going to happen with it? Doctor's going to be at Leicester University. Bill's girlfriend's going to be taken over by some kind of liquid Dalek energy. It's going to turn her into a liquid Dalek, and that's going to make her want to go with the Doctor and fly out into space, where they're going to.
And she'll be very sad. She'll
be sad for like 5 minutes, and then they're going to meet some Movellans, and then it will be into episode 2. Those are our predictions.
Yep.
Cool.
Sounds good.
Sweet.
All right.
Well, it's exciting.
Should I close this out here?
Yep. Again, if you have been, thanks for listening.
Yep.
And as always, I've been Ben.
And I have been David. And have a good evening.
And have a great evening.
Thank you for listening to the Metabolus 2 podcast. You can reach us with email at metabolus2, that's a number 2, @gmail.com, or on Twitter at metabolus2, and again, that's a number 2. Hope to hear from you. Bye.
Now, Dole, Bill, with me
to the Batmobile. Let's go.